20, verses 36 through 38. And when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. Maybe see.
Good morning. I hope everybody had a good Christmas and looking forward to celebrating the new year. And if you are in town, you're invited to come and be with us this Wednesday night on New Year's Eve and bring some food and games and things, and we'll have a fellowship afterwards. And if you're visiting with us, I see several family members and things that are in from out of town, it's always good to see you, and we pray God's blessings upon your return trip to your home. And how appropriate we get to think about talking about your return trip, saying goodbye. We're coming to the end of 2014, and I appreciated Kim's prayer as he talked about the joys of 2014, and certainly kind of like Ecclesiastes when it talks about there's a time to weep and a time to be joyful. There's a time to plant, a time to reap, and he goes through those various different scenarios. Each year is filled with both highs and lows, with the mountains and the valleys. And this year, for your family, I'm sure, and especially for our church family, has been no different. And as we close out 2014, I want to think about these transitions that we go through. And so this week we're going to talk about saying goodbye. And this is really kind of a downer lesson. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not going to be super encouraging, but it is super important. It's an important lesson. And it's a lesson that can change your life. Because you may be stuck. You may be in a hard time perpetually because you're not willing to say goodbye. As we end 2014, there's some things we need to probably say goodbye to. And next week, Lord willing, we're going to think about saying hello. And we're going to think about new beginnings as we begin 2015. So this morning, saying goodbye. When you think about saying goodbye, most all of us probably don't like it. Oh, at times, there's some people you're glad to say goodbye to in terms of when they maybe have overstayed their welcome. And I remember an older man here who would tell me about when his family would all come in from the holidays. And he's not any of you here that are in for the holidays. But he would tell me, he said, the most exciting time is when you'd see him pull up. And he said, the next most exciting time is when you'd see the taillights leaving. And so sometimes we get excited when they come, and sometimes we get excited when they leave. But saying goodbye typically is not something we like to do. In fact, Jesus had a lot of anxiety over leaving. He didn't know what his disciples would do. And he struggled himself as he approached his own death to say goodbye. He wasn't ready to go through this transition of death. And in John 17, Jesus prays fervently for his apostles. For example, in verse number 10, he says, all mine are yours and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. He talks about how he has guarded them in verse number 12. How he has not lost one except referring to Judas, the son of destruction. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus had anxiety over leaving his apostles and his disciples. He had anxiety over his own death and his own departure. In fact, he prayed, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. The whole Gethsemane experience in many ways is someone struggling with saying goodbye. And yet, goodbyes are certainly tough on us if they were tough on the Son of God. So when you think about goodbye, we're thinking about death, burial, and resurrection experiences. Chris, my clicker is not working, so if you will advance the slide. We're thinking about transitions. And when we think about transitions, we're thinking about saying goodbye, I want us to look at this in a metaphorical way. And this week we're thinking about the ending, the losing, the letting go. the putting in our past some things. And we need to understand that this is often very difficult, and I'm certainly not going to tell you how you should always handle certain things. And we need to keep the past alive, but we don't need to be stuck in the past. And so we're thinking about ending certain things and lose it when we have losses and when we suffer grief. And then the letting go. And then next week, when we think about that new beginning, we say hello, but there's often this uncomfortable time during the neutral zone. And so when we go through difficult times of transitions, it's like the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that's really the pattern, that new life that comes through the resurrection. But it's difficult to go through the death and through the burial. And so often there's a period of disorientation and confusion. And often it involves grief and depression and we don't really know what we should do. And so there's a lot of prayer. So we're thinking about how it's difficult. And in fact, the Bible would speak often about this. And so on the next slide, we see some biblical goodbyes. When you study the book of Genesis, you see the biblical goodbyes of the patriarchs. When Abraham gets ready to leave this world, he gathers Isaac around and he talks to him about that. And then when Isaac gets ready to leave, he gathers Jacob and Esau around and he talks to them and he says goodbye. And then when Jacob gets ready to leave this world, he gathers his sons. And remember chapters 48 through 49 there, he gives these long blessings. There's some prophecy in some of that where he talks about the blessings upon his sons. He says goodbye to each of them. And then they embark on their new journey. If you go to the book of Ruth, you'll see Ruth coming to a very key point in her choice. And next week we'll talk more about Ruth as she is going to say hello to a new world. But it begins with Naomi having to say goodbye. Naomi was Ruth's mother-in-law. And Naomi had gone to Moab during a period of famine. She takes her husband with her, obviously, and her two sons. And while they were there in Moab, her two sons marry Moabite women. And Naomi suffers the great misfortune of having her husband and both sons die in Moab. So now she goes back and she tells her countrymen, no longer call me Naomi, but call me Mara, which means bitter, because she was very bitter. And as she talks to her daughters, her daughter-in-laws in verses 13 and 14, she would tell them to go back because she cannot provide a husband for them. She says in verse 13, would you therefore wait till they were grown, talking about husbands? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughter, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Orpah said goodbye. Naomi said goodbye to an old life, and she embarks on a new life back in Jerusalem. She had to say goodbye. Another biblical goodbye is Elisha and Elijah. This one's interesting because it takes place at a time when Elijah had just defeated Ahab and the prophets of Baal. But he's knowing that his time is soon going to come to an end. So he picks a predecessor, someone to take up his mantle. In fact, he throws him the mantle and puts the cloak or mantle on Elisha to show him that he has been selected to go and serve as a prophet. What a great job. But before he can go and serve as a prophet, Elisha asks in verses 19 through 22, through 21. He asks if he can go and prepare a meal, and he slaughters some oxen. And he has a farewell meal with his family. Before he could begin on the new life, he had to say goodbye. He had to have a meal, a covenant, a communal meal with his family to say goodbye. And then if you go into the New Testament, I think about one of the most touching goodbyes had to be Jesus and his apostles after the resurrection. Remember, these apostles were truly going through that neutral zone. They were in a disorientation time period where they were really confused. And they had seen Jesus, but Jesus wasn't like he was before. He wasn't going to stay with them. He says, don't cling to me. I'm going back to my Father. Jesus had kept telling them, the reality is, I'm not going to be here. I'm dying. I'm going back. But the disciples kept saying, no, that's not right. You're going to be the king. You're not going to die. And Jesus kept saying, no, I'm going to die. And finally they realize it, and they see the resurrection, and Jesus is back, and now they want to know more about Jesus and him going. And what does Jesus do? He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I'll be with you always. And Jesus leaves. He ascends back to the Father. And I want you to look at Acts chapter 1, verses 9 and following. And they, when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And now, and while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. They had to be told once again, he's gone. You got to say goodbye. It's time to move on. And they didn't know what moving on meant. They didn't know what all involved. How are they going to preach the gospel to the whole creation? When were they going to be endued with power from on high? All they were told was to wait. Something we don't like to do. Wait in Jerusalem. They were told to wait. And then one of the touching goodbyes, and our last one we'll note, is in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 that Ryan referred to, and it's the story of the elders at Ephesus who meet Paul on the island of Miletus. And he thinks, after spending 3 years with them, he thinks that it's his last time to see them. And he spends some time talking to them and encouraging them about what they need to be doing and telling them to remain faithful. And then he ends with a very tearful goodbye in verse 36. He knelt down and prayed with them all. And as there was much weeping on the part of all, they embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken. They would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. What's the purpose of saying goodbye? Now, I don't want you to think that we're just talking about funerals, because that's really not my emphasis. And I'm not really talking about when we lose a loved one, though that can be an application. But I'm really talking more about things that happened in 2014 or things that happened in our life that we need to have closure with. We need to be able to process so that we can then go into 2015. And a funeral is a time that I think gives a good illustration of that. What is the purpose of a funeral? Purpose of a funeral is to honor. Purpose of a funeral is to remember, to reflect, to acknowledge the reality. I begin most funerals at some point very early talking about the reality of death. It is appointed unto men to die once, and after this to judgment, Hebrews 9:27. To acknowledge the reality that this is something that has happened and we need to acknowledge it. To also, as we continue on the list, to mourn, to weep. We often have in our culture that men don't cry, and it's something that's wrong. And so when we see a lady crying or a man crying, we go up and say, what's the matter? What's wrong? Or we ask people how they're doing, and we expect that they're doing good if they're not crying, right? But yet Paul and Jesus and Elijah and other men wept. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. There's a time to weep. It's a time to weep. Goodbyes involve weeping and mourning. Support. Funerals are a time where we gather a lot of support and we pull together. And then finally, funerals are a time where we are able to reflect and take with us some thoughts about the difference that person has made in our life. And so, what do you need to say goodbye to as we close 2014? This is a very introspective lesson. What funerals do you need to hold as we close 2014? And these may not be something that you hold and then it's over, but maybe something you need to say goodbye to continually until it's really goodbye. And really, maybe it's not something that you ever, certainly not forget or ever move on from or ever stop remembering, but something that doesn't keep you stuck and hold you back from moving on to saying hello. What are some things? I have four things. The first one is this. Maybe you're bitter. Maybe there's been a job loss. I don't know. Maybe you were mistreated. Maybe there was a divorce that you didn't want in 2014 or earlier. It caused you a lot of stress and bitter resentment. Maybe you were mistreated by a coworker, or you were gossiped about, or maybe your husband or wife committed an affair upon you. Maybe you were swindled out of some money. A brother or sister in your family took you for some money, or a coworker or a business partner took a lot of money from you. No, it was technically legal, but it was certainly not moral. And you're very bitter about it. Maybe it wasn't in 2014. Maybe it was in 2004, but you're still hanging on to it. What is some bitterness? Maybe you were done wrong. Maybe you were overlooked. You didn't get the credit you deserved. Maybe you were not recognized at church. Maybe you were not seen to in your needs. No one thought about you when you were struggling. Maybe you were overlooked. What bitterness? You can nurse that bitterness. You can hold on to it. You can continue to feed it. Or you can choose that I'm going to have a funeral for it. I'm going to say goodbye to it. And I'm not going to let it control my life every day. The next thing that you may need to say goodbye to is something involving a relationship. Maybe you went, and we often maybe don't think about this, but we have, especially our younger people, but older people too, they're involved in dating relationships. And maybe you had a very difficult dating relationship in 2014 or some year. And it ended bad. It was a hard breakup, we might say. And it's just really causing you not to be able to move on. Maybe you need to reflect and mourn, process it, and go on. Maybe 2014 involved a great change in a relationship with your kids. Maybe your child got married. Maybe they went off to college. Maybe they moved out on their own. Maybe they quit attending church. See, what type of relationship, what kind of problem have you had maybe in your family? You know, in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus quotes from the book of Genesis, and he said that the man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. There's a leaving and there's a cleaving. Both of those acts can be challenging, can't they? It involves a saying goodbye in a way to the relationship of loyalty and obligations to parents and a new obligation to the spouse that you've taken. That it means that mom and daddy have to step back a little bit. They have to let go. And it means that the in-laws have to let go a little bit. You see, maybe we need to say goodbye to the relationship that was because we've gained next week a new relationship. We need to say goodbye. What about the next one is sin? In Luke chapter 14, verse 33, the Bible says, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." In a paraphrased version, it puts it like this. Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you cannot be my disciple. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul, talking about his life, says this. "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." Paul had all that sin, all that persecution, all those things, and he says, "I'm putting that behind me." Maybe there is some sin, and it could be holding you back in two ways. It could either be an active sin you're in now, and it's got a stranglehold on your heart. Or it could be just the guilt that's holding on to your heart from a sin you did in the past. Maybe you need to have a goodbye ceremony for a sin. Maybe you need to step up and say, I cannot continue to live in this active sin. It's ruining my life. It's going to ruin my family. It's going to take my soul. I've got to find a way to bury it. It may mean you have to get some help. It may mean you have to get some accountability partners to help you. It may mean you need to be restored to the church. It may mean you need to give your life to Christ. But sin will take you farther and hold you longer and ruin you greater than you ever thought possible if you do not say, enough is enough. Let me tell you something else. You can also allow the guilt of sin to do that. It might have been a sin that you're not actually doing that. You might have repented of that sin, but you're still allowing the guilt to control you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. You are free from that sin. Do not allow the guilt of that sin to cause you to not to be able to move on in your service to Christ and in your relationships with others. You may need to have a funeral for sin. And the fourth thing is, it may need to be a case where you need to have a funeral for the past. You know, I'm already starting to struggle with this a little bit. As you had a Christmas in 2014, my oldest hit a decade, 10 years old. And I'm thinking, hey, 8 more years, he's going to be getting out. And there's a part of me that's excited about that, right? But then there's another part of me that's like, oh man, where did the 10 years go? And you think, and I don't know about you, but I think, man, I can't remember things I want to remember. And I didn't get to do some things I want to do. And then you think about, and I understand how so many parents that their kids are grown talk about how quickly it goes and how fast it goes. And there's a sense where we can look back on certain times as those were the glory days, those were the good days, and they may be. Or we talk about when we had a good job, or when we were newlyweds, when we were in love, or before the divorce, before the accident, or before the death. And yeah, all those things can be real, and I'm certainly not saying that we have to forget the past, because the past influences us, but we should not allow it to shape us and define us. But what I am saying is, we often have to say, I cannot recreate the past now. I have to find joy in the present. I have to try to use what I can do now for the service of the Lord. And I have to be thankful for the blessings I have now. So maybe we've allowed the past to control us, and we're allowing what we don't have now to ruin our present. And so what funerals do you need to have? Now, how do you say goodbye? How do you say goodbye? Two things. And the lesson is yours to reflect upon. Number one, acknowledge the reality of the loss. Acknowledge the reality of the loss. Sometimes we are struggling with these issues because we don't just own up to the fact that it was a hard situation. We think that we shouldn't be upset about it. Hey, if you went through something hard, it's a big deal to you. If you went through a breakup, teenagers, if you went through a divorce, if you went through something, if you went through someone treated you wrong with gossip or financially, you might have to acknowledge the reality of the hurt. If you're involved in some sin or the guilt, you need to acknowledge the reality of that. Quit trying to hide it. Quit trying to cover it up and say you don't need help, that you don't need to repent of that sin. You must acknowledge that that sin is ruining your life and affecting your heart. Acknowledge the reality of it. You've got to first take that step and say, this is real. And in order for it to end, I must acknowledge it. Jesus kept telling the disciples, I'm going to die. I'm leaving. And the disciples kept saying, no. And Jesus eventually did. They had to acknowledge it. Even the angels had to say, he's not coming back. Get on with your work. Acknowledge the reality. And then acknowledge its value, its worth, its pain, its significance, its meaning, and its hurt. Acknowledge those things. And then number two, process it. Process it. What did it mean to you? How did it affect you? How did it affect your relationships? How is it influencing you? When Paul met with the elders there, they talked about the 3 years they had and all that Paul tried to do, and he wept and they wept. They processed it. They talked about it. They talked about the past and they talked about the future. Talk about it. The apostles and disciples in the upper room and Ruth and Naomi will lead to Boaz and the townspeople and all the future hopes. There's crying and weeping and talking. And this often involves five sayings that might be helpful, that might be a part of this. Those five sayings are, forgive me. Maybe you need to tell somebody, ask somebody to forgive you. Maybe you need to tell somebody, I forgive you. Maybe you need to say, I love you. I love you. I know we've had some problems, but I want you to know I love you. Maybe you need to say, thank you. Thank you. Maybe you need to say goodbye. This is not good for me. What we're doing and the relationship we're in is not good for me and my relationship with God and even you. We need to say goodbye. Maybe you need to say goodbye. And so how do you say goodbye? I want to tell you a quick illustration a man has shared with me. Someone put this, picture wouldn't be possible without God. Many years ago, he softened bitter hearts, planted seeds of forgiveness. He brought us together against all odds, talking about her father. And they had a lot of problems, but they were able to say goodbye and put some things in the past and now have a relationship as this father, her father's now holding his grandson. And she said, that wouldn't have been possible if we hadn't said goodbye to some things so we could begin anew. Think about, as I was thinking about illustration in this, man and I were talking about what illustration we could use. I think about my grandfather. And I know I think I've shared this in years past, but my grandfather for years was an alcoholic and he was crippled by that sin, by that addiction. There came a point where he had to say enough is enough. And there was a time where he said goodbye to it and he gave his life to Christ and he went on to become an elder in the church. But you know, even through that process, he never quit saying goodbye. He guarded where he went to eat. He didn't allow the smell in his house, even in fruitcakes and things, because of that temptation and that addiction was still so powerful. So he said goodbye in one time and put it in the past, but it was something that he constantly was saying goodbye to because he wanted to open himself up to the new. You know, you can think about various illustrations of how you need to apply this. But really, it all comes down to what Jesus did for us. Jesus did the death, burial, and resurrection so that we could die, bury, and be raised. Physically, but also in this life. John 3 says that we are to be born again. We're born again. God is the God of the living. He is the great I am. He is always present. He wants you to know that He can help you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so maybe this morning, as you think about 2014, let me encourage you to reflect. And in your personal life this week, as you begin, before you think about the New Year's resolutions, think about the old year goodbyes. Because you cannot, listen to me, you cannot healthy, in a healthy way for your soul, emotionally, your body, physically, you cannot move on to the new without dealing with the old. Being grateful for it, acknowledging it, processing it, forgiving, putting behind, and being ready to move on to the new. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, if you need to put Christ on in baptism to begin a new life, say goodbye to the old and begin anew, then do that. If you need to rededicate your life, have another death, burial, and resurrection experience, rededicating your life, then do that. Say goodbye to the old and begin anew. If you need to come, come us together. We stand and sing.